to welcome you here today to Blog Talk Radio's Black Politics in Minneapolis. Hi, my name is Don Allen. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the Independent Business News Network. And joining me today is we have Mr. Wes Smooth and Marcellus, and we'll get to those gentlemen in a minute. Today's show is to cover the last year of the tornado recovery, the things that we might have done different, the players involved, and we've decided tonight that we're not going to totally character assassinate anybody that was involved with the tornado recovery, but we're going to talk about some things that maybe we probably could have done differently to make things have a better outcome. As you know today, Minnesota Public Radio happened to be in North Minneapolis broadcasting for the University of Minnesota's UROC, and there was a lot of backpedaling and fluff going on, and the real story was never told. And it was unfortunate because that was a great opportunity to have our community spokespersons to actually come out of the category of poverty pimps. But it didn't happen. And joining me tonight, I have Mr. Wes Smooth. Hey, Wes, how you doing?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
All right, I'm glad you could be with me tonight. And I have Mr. Marcellus on the other end. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, over the last year, you brothers, you know, have been noticing this. But before we get into it, I'd like you guys to each maybe take, let's start with Mr. Marcellus. I know that you have an organization that you're affiliated with via the social media networks out there called Race Equity. And why don't you take 15, 20 seconds and tell us what that is, and then we're going to move into Mr. Smooth.
Well, I think the Race Equity is a collaborative through numerous Minnesota state independent collaborations like MMEP, Minnesota Minority Education Partnership, as well as school districts that have collaborated to really address some of the racial inequities that are very relevant in one of the states that prides itself on its education. But the question becomes, education for who?
Thank you. Thank you. No, I was just agreeing with you 100%. Continue.
And my name is Marcellus Davis. In my day job, I work for Anoka Ramsey Community College. But in my everyday reality, I live on the north side, and I was affected by the tornado before we were affected by the tornado, if that makes any sense, literally and figuratively. I'm ecstatic about being here today talking about possible solutions and the realities that are perplexing the north side today and yesterday. And hopefully we can create some solutions starting today that will give us a brighter horizon for tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Smooth, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I'm self-employed, but my everyday job is I'm a community person. The thing about it is that what I do is that I don't talk about really what I do. I just become involved. I have a faith in the community, and my number has been the same for, like I said, last 8 years. And I get calls from people regarding everything. Just everything from, can I get bus fare, to where can I go and get this bill paid, or how can I keep my lights on, that sort of thing. And so I'm just a community person. I just like to identify myself as that.
Okay, thank you. We, you know, you gentlemen are both in education, and we know that, just speaking real quick on Minneapolis public schools, and schools around the country in neighborhoods where there are poor populations of African Americans or blacks, as we use in this broadcast, that these schools weren't made or aren't styled to teach black children. And until that happens, we're going to have a default in education. Now, let's jump right in. Today was the one-year anniversary of the North Minneapolis tornado that we affectionately named Nancy, that ripped through North Minneapolis and caused a lot of damage and property damage, displacement. You know, I talked to Hennepin County Commissioner, who's actually leaving in July, if I'm not mistaken, Mark Stingline. He sat right next to me at one of the Northside Community Resource Team meetings and says that, you know, you're missing 10,000 to 12,000 people out of North Minneapolis. And with that said, the process in the beginning was pretty strange because the city came out, the Star Tribune came out, that it would be $166 million to bring North Minneapolis up to pre-tornado conditions. But as you gentlemen know, there was a storm in North Minneapolis long before the tornado. And that one was one of economic disenfranchisement and a lot of things that just went foul. So just, you know, I want you guys to jump in at any time. What was your experience? I know, Wes, you went to a lot of the meetings. You were there when I was there until the chairman of the NCRG asked me not to come anymore, and we're going to play a little bit of that later on here. Yeah. And what was your thoughts? I mean, what could have been done differently to see more successful, measurable outcomes during this engagement?
You know, that's a very good question that you asked, Mr. Allen, because in my observation, again, yeah, I attended meetings, but first of all, I just want to agree with Mr. Marcellus because, and you, that there was a storm before the tornado. There was a storm that just devastated our people on the north side even before the tornado came. Me, I know, and I know this is hindsight, and it always, you know, looks better when you look behind. But I remember that after the tornado, when they put people in the shelter over in the armory and that sort of thing, I feel that they should have kind of kept people together who were victims of the storm, who lost their homes and that sort of thing. And then they should have brought in all of these contractors and whatnot, and they should have interviewed these people who were victims of the storm, who were victims, so that they would be able to become employed by these contractors. And there should have been some type of agreement in place that they had to hire these people to rebuild the community in some capacity, laborer or something, or some people who were eligible, who were qualified to work with these people. This way, the economic development part of it would have benefited the north side to some degree because, you know, we keep talking about where did those millions go, these millions. Well, the millions have gone out of the north side. The contractors came in and made that money, hired their nephews, you know, their uncles and everybody. They came in and did what they needed to do, and they left and took that money out of the community with them.
Okay, well, Mr. Smoot, I'm just going to interject this then. And, you know, you said this before. I know Mr. Marcellus agrees with this. This was one of the opportunities to have one of the greatest public work programs or events in North Minneapolis for the unemployed and the underemployed, but somehow it got derailed somehow.
Yes,
and
yes.
And if
happened?
I can, and go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that, you know, a particular construction company set up a trailer on the corner of Broadway and Penn Avenue, kitty corner from the KMLJ studios. And they had people, contractors, door knocking. Now, you know, the Star Tribune came out with an article that said 22 of the contractors were not licensed to even work over in North Minneapolis. But as soon as the insurance money ran out, this trailer packed up. Now, we counted in an aerial photo that we had taken, you know, there was like 100 blue tarps on roofs all over North Minneapolis. I mean, 8 months after the storm. I mean, during the winter, I mean, how do people live like that? I mean, how can we let this happen when you had agencies that were given money to actually go in and make sure minority women and minority contractors were certified to work in North Minneapolis as it pertains to the statutes for the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights and all the construction codes and everything to bring them on board and give them opportunities to work. But it just seemed like money kept going out and going out. And before I get to your comment, Mr. Marcellus, here, I just want to throw this in there. Early on, one of the NCRT meetings, there's a gentleman there that was awarded $4,500. He said he was going to do events at the Mall of America. And I found that really peculiar, you know, because what the hell someone at the Mall of America wants to do a fundraiser or even support something in North Minneapolis? And it was really strange because I watched that because they never had any communication mission or a plan to keep building funds to do fundraisers like the Minneapolis Foundation. Now, the Minneapolis Foundation did a good job of raising money. But I also say that they brought some bullies to the playground. And in my opinion, the money that was delivered was not delivered in the appropriate way, the appropriate time. And people received grants from this organization that didn't necessarily complete their missions. And we know that. We know who these players are. And I hope they're tuned in and they can give us a call. But, Mr. Marcellus, I want to let you get in on this and, you know, speak your mind. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, as I watched, as I'm on the street watching the cleanup efforts, trying to partake as much as I could, I saw so much wood that wood trucks would come in, they would chop the wood up, and I wondered, what could we do in regards to recyclable usage of these materials that were damaged, but we can recycle these goods. More importantly, we can recycle it and sell it and get this money back into the community. But that wasn't happening. So one of my questions became, where's this money going? Because somebody is doing exactly what I'm thinking about, but it's not going back into North Minneapolis. I saw plenty of people who were volunteering, putting in the time and efforts, trying to help out with the cleanup and things of that nature, who were not getting a dime for their work, busting their butts. I saw people who were getting paid, taking their mandatory 15. So these are some of the things that really perplexed me. And what really, really got me confused is what happens to the tax base? Because we've lost a number of homes. We already have a number of homes that are in foreclosure. And we know good schools have good tax-based economics that helps with the resources. We're already battling with our school system. And now we're losing these vital dollars, this vital tax base to educate our kids. I'm very concerned. Then we had the sensationalism of some of the conversations in regards to the liquor stores being broken. I don't know who created this story, but who cares? They're good. They're going to get an insurance check, and they probably won't come back because they've probably been dying to get out of there for a while.
Broadway Liquor, they consider that Broadway Liquor is a good anchor business for North Minneapolis. Because, after the tornado, if you had exact change, you could go to the back door and buy liquor. And that was really interesting that you could actually go do that, because I didn't believe it until I drove over there and parked, and someone, they said, hey, give me $3.40. And they came out of there with a quart. I says, wow, this is a trip. How is this happening? Yeah. How is a liquor store a good anchor business for North Minneapolis? And then, as we know, throughout the process, there was never any effort for a proper communication base. When I say communication base, this should have been a $5 million engagement nationally for North Minneapolis. So North Minneapolis has had a serious lack of economic development. You have the city, the Star Tribune, and WCCO saying, crime is down. I can take some numbers that look bad and make them look good. I mean, it's math. And so they put that propaganda out, and we know that, crime is not down in North Minneapolis. There are some dangerous things going on in North Minneapolis. You just don't hear about everything. We're probably privileged to know some of the inside stuff, some of the things that go on, some of the movers and the shakers who are putting this undercover. But I'd like to share this with you guys, okay? The day after the tornado, Nancy, we'll call her, happened, there were no African-American, or for this show, black social service agencies that housed people. So the Red Cross, Elim Housing, and the Salvation Army came through, and I'm going to tell you, they put brothers and sisters up in hotels all over the place, okay? Now, Elim Housing went broke. They spent, over $200,000 putting people in the hotels and making sure they had food and just a number of great things. So I like to congratulate Sue and the people at Elim Housing. But it's really funny, when the money hit the table from the Minneapolis Foundation, Elim Housing wasn't even a part of the equation. But here's the irony of it. You remember the Urban Leagues group home that they had over North, that they still have over North Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Not at one time did they offer that big group home right off, I think it is Emerson or Fremont over there. Not one time did they offer anybody in the community a place to lay their head during the whole tornado situation. And there was a lot of...
You know something? Here's the thing, though. Now, I'm not straight out just charging people, but I think that the failures, first of all, you have to remember that our people is many people. They've came here, and they depend upon what somebody can give them. Now, as opposed to someone coming and organizing the people in that armory and in the North Commons Park and the places where they were staying at, and bringing forth these contractors and whatnot, because I'm looking at 1 year later how better off these people could be and how the community could be a lot more vibrant. This money, that it came and it left. it's gone. Goodbye. Kiss the goodbye. It's gone. And the people are not, in a better shape than what they was. The conditions from pre to post, they're not in that, it just hasn't happened. So what I'm saying is that nobody organized these people to do for self. What they did was they played the game and pacified the people with this, because people are used to Mary Jo's and everybody giving them something. And so they stepped up with this, get behind us, we'll make sure you get something, and have them waiting for stuff. As opposed to empowering these people and saying, hey, look, you see a man with a clipboard, ask him about a job. You know, or bring these people who are contractors, and that they should have been down there at the armory. The day that the tornado happened, the morning after, the biggest homeless convention in the world was right there at the convention center. And nobody brought those people down there to the Homeless Connect. The day after, the May 23rd, it was right there at the convention center. They should have had priority to go down there and get whatever it was that they needed. Everything could have been, but nobody done that. They didn't go to the armories and pick those people up. Instead, what they did was they fed into what is a plague and a disease that people have here already, and that's that wait on somebody to give it to me itis. And so
yes.
with that being a factor, these people were still waiting, thinking that these people who came out there with their capes on, saying, we're going to save you, don't worry about it, get behind us. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. And the people waited. They waited and waited while they watched these people come in there with chainsaws, with chainsaws. This and that. I was opposed to doing volunteer work. Why should you go out there and do volunteer work when you're already unemployed? You know, this ain't saving your home. This ain't saving your home. You're renting. You're renting on the north side. You know, why should you be volunteering to do anything over there? They should have made sure that these contractors hired these people. I don't care if it wasn't nothing but for 3 months. They could have saved them enough money to move into a better condition. You know, again, economic development, but now the money has came in. These contractors have came in, made their money, and now they're going. Their kids are going to college, but some of these people, you ask them 1 year later, some of these kids can't even graduate high school. Some of them can't even get uniforms to go to high school 1 year later.
Well, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Well, you know, even this just is like the stadium deal, the Viking stadium. Mayor Archie Ribet put out this elaborate email today talking about we're going to have 3,400 sustained jobs, you know, and he was quick and slick because he didn't put new jobs, because it's like this. There's a Metrodome down there already with about 3,400 people working, okay? When this new place opens, I'm sure most of those people are going to try to transfer over there. There are no new jobs created, you know, and I don't know, and people are saying, oh, this is an opportunity to hire people in North Minneapolis. Well, we've heard that 3 times from major public works, TCF Stadium, the Target Field, and now the Viking Stadium. And so you got State Representative Bobby Joe Champion rallying the troops talking about, okay, we're going to have these jobs, and it never comes true. They always say this, and number one, these people are businessmen. But before we go on, I want to let folks know that our phone lines are open. You can dial 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904, and the phone lines are open. But before we go on, I want to play a video from June 29th. About a month or so after the tornado, from a woman that has been over north for a long time, and she was pretty fed up with what was going on, and she came into the NCRT meeting, and she had this to say.
Thank you. me is Jesus. Every fuck I thank him and I thank for God. Because I grew up there too. A lot of us have responsibility. We the only ones that have responsibility. And I'm trying to figure out where it all is my Lord. It can't go to the victim.
Amen.
It can't go to the victim at all. And I'm thankful with my black folks. I'm thankful with my white folks. Because this did not go on in the 60s or the 70s. Everybody had it together. Ain't nobody better than one. Now, what if somebody can say, so God just come out and just throw my cure out? You must be the same feeling I had. Because I'm hurt by it. And I mean I'm hurt by it. By his Christ walk is wrong. And I know God paid $10,000 for the bitch. Where is that money at? Where is it at?
Young woman that was,
I was at that meeting.
She was very frustrated with what was going on, and you know, Comcast had given $50,000 coin for the victims of the tornado. That was a photo op with Don Samuels, Comcast representatives, State Representative Bobby Joe Champion, and you know, still today, and this is what kind of bugs me. Yeah, the money's out there, it's been gone, but there is. I have not seen a line item report on the individual's name. Now, we know people got contracts for $5,000, $10,000 sitting around that table, $4,500 here, $2,000 here to do things. And we have not seen that report. And that report will probably never come out simply because if you find out the names associated with it, you got one guy is on the verge of getting a $300,000 contract from the Minneapolis Public Schools. And once you hear all this stuff that's happening, you will snap. And North Minneapolis residents will snap, especially those in those neighborhoods that are active politically when they find out some of this mess that's going on. But, Mr. Marcellus, I'm going to let you jump in. You might have a couple words there.
Well, you know, the lack of jobs in North Minneapolis is something, again, that perplexes me. We continue to say we're going to give and give jobs and play on people's hopes and pride. When you said that jobs are going to be given out, you know, I just remember that being stated when UROC moved in to the community. I don't know when the last time we got a report on how many jobs were actually given to community members as well as versus how much research has been done on the community members. I'd like to see that. But, you know, Brother West said it earlier, we have been conditioned to wait on. And, again, the tornado wasn't last year. The tornado was done years ago. And this repressive thinking, we have to counter this. You know, there's so many that benefit. The Plymouth and I think it's Fremont. Is it Mickey's?
Yeah.
Liquor. I've seen this.
Yeah,
I'm 35 years old.
The legal dope dealer. The legal dope dealer over there at the port.
Yes. I'm 35 years old, and one standing business that I can say that I've seen in my time over north, 35 years again, has been Mickey's Liquor. It survived tornadoes. It has outlasted a billion-dollar corporation by the name of Target, numerous supermarkets, and, you know, one day I counted the Northside liquor store that I was familiar with, Mickey's Liquors, Broadway and Penn, the Lindell, the other legal, where you can also get your legal prescriptions as well. And then I think there's a sleeper one across on Washington and Broadway.
I would say
that the tornado missed the wrong places.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, next question. Now, I've only been here 22 years, and the question is pertaining to Mickey's Liquor. I'd like to know that in the time that you've been here, have you ever known them to sponsor a basketball team, baseball team, any community function, you know, any church for anything that you know of? Do you know of anything like that? Because everybody that I ask, you know, who's been here for a great deal of years can never – answer this question for me.
No. I think the one thing Mickey's Liquors can say possibly is that they give people stuff on credit, which ain't a good thing. I won't just hold that to Mickey's Liquors. I will also say one day I was trying to get some sponsorships for a student-oriented group that I was trying to put together. And I went to J&J's Fish Shack. They weren't having any. They didn't want to have a conversation. You can come into the community, extort the money, study the groups, study the demographics of the groups that you're going to be selling food to, things that are particular to the African-American culture as far as food. But when you're asked to support the community in which you're taking your money from every day, you don't want to have anything to do with it. And I say, should I be upset with them, or should I be upset that we continue to not recognize, our black community, recognizing our political tool, our most political tool, which is understanding our black economics. And until we really understand our black economics, which is part of the condition of the colonialization that has afflicted the Northside community in multiple minds, we could also attribute that to post-traumatic slave syndrome or psychological slavery, we will continue to be in this decrepit state that we are in 1 year, but we really could argue multiple years now versus just like we were yesterday. Understanding that our commanding of our dollars is our most valid political weapon on this north side, until we understand that, we will be in the same decrepit state that we're in.
And Mr. Marcellus, he brings up a good point, and we're just going to keep going. We're going to keep streaming here. We've been talking pretty good for about the last 30 minutes, but we're just going to keep streaming here. And those that are listening, you can just hang on and stay with the show. Don't worry about it. But you brought up a really good point about the businesses in Northside. You know, they have a West Broadway Business Area Coalition, which is ran, the chairman of the board is Ms. Jackie Cherry Holmes. And it's also ran by a young lady of her name, Erin. And, you know, they received some money from the Minneapolis Foundation to do some things with businesses. And it's really funny because if you call them and you ask them and say, hey, you know, can you let me, is there a report that I can see how the money was spent besides salary for hiring individuals and things like that? And they're really hesitant to do any of that, to show you anything, to work with you, to let you know, because you'd find a huge discrepancy. Because we know that, you know, Louisiana Fried Chicken just left North Minneapolis. They'll be opening up in Northeast Minneapolis. And that was simply because, you know, just the economic conditions and the way the constraints they put on them, you know, the guy, you know, you couldn't make any money over there. It's really hard for businesses. And you have these nonprofits that say that they help businesses and that they do things for businesses, and we'll just ignore my British co-host on the satellite. Give me seconds, and we'll just keep streaming. And so with that said, I mean, there's huge challenges in North Minneapolis that doesn't seem like the politicians are paying attention to, the nonprofits. You know, there's so many of them there that say they do so much, and it's kind of shameful to see the outcomes after 30 years, because we can go back to the empowerment zone money. And whenever I bring this up, I'm always talking to someone that says, oh, I was on the board for the empowerment zone. I said, oh, yeah, what happened? You know, and I'm going to give you an example. The building that Campbell J is in, okay, I'm almost positive they got over $600,000 of empowerment zone money. The problem is, you know, like Wes, Mr. Marcellus, us, if we don't understand real estate transactions and how to buy, sell, negotiate, I think that it's good enough for us to bring an attorney or licensed real estate agent in and pay him $300 an hour, because we're going to be expecting this downfall of money to close the deal to make sure that we're owners. Well, you have KMLJ renting from a landlord who has done some development and some deals and started a nonprofit in North Minneapolis and actually has moved out of North Minneapolis now. But, you know, this was an opportunity for that particular station's board of directors to show that, you know, there is value in ownership. And with that much money from the empowerment zone, how are you renting a space from someone else? Why don't you own the building? And the answer is simple. If you don't understand that your intellectual property only goes so far, you're not going to know how to do this. And it's called the arrogance of not knowing. I mean, it's the innocence of not knowing, excuse me, and the arrogance of not asking how. And so we see a lot of those situations in North Minneapolis, as well as South Minneapolis, St. Paul, and in other areas where there are large pockets of African-Americans or blacks for this show that don't get, you know, what they need. And it's shameful. I mean, really, if you go to contractors, I spoke with the president of the National Association of Minority Contractors. His name is Jerry Steele. I said, how many of your contractors got work in North Minneapolis during and right after the tornado process? And he says he doesn't know of any, except for a company, a major company here in town that had a trailer over there on Broadway and Penn. That was it. And that was really shameful because, again, like Wes has stated and Mr. Marcellus has stated earlier, this was one of the, could have been one of the greatest public works programs, because I'm so tired of these nonprofits saying, hey, we have some summer part-time jobs opening and we're trying to raise money for this or that. A job, you know, if you're self-employed, you know that you have to work from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. sometimes at night. If you, a job, though, it gives you a regular 8 hours, 40 hours a week. You save money, you buy a house, you get a car, or whichever way you want to do that. You know, you can support your family. These nonprofit gigs they have are so temporary, like that big Yahoo they made on them, those young guys working on the roof of the Twin Stadium to lay a green roof. I mean, come on, where are those guys at now? Do they still work on the stadium? Do you know Wesley or Marcellus? Do you guys know if those guys are still even working down at Target Field?
You know what?
No.
The thing about it is that economic development comes along, should come along with dollars and cents. And so, again, just going back to what you said, this could have been one of the greatest economic development projects in history here on the north side. It didn't happen, and it comes down to dollars and cents. Some people got some dollars, but what didn't make no sense was why are some people still broke, poor, and don't have nowhere to live, and they're not in a better condition than what they was prior to. Myself, what I've seen, and don't get me wrong, I tried to get a job and everything with some of the people who had, you know, some of the agencies that had gotten money to help these people, because it's something I'm doing all the time, you know, but I have a family also. So I didn't get paid for anything. In fact, what I got for my troubles in volunteering and doing this type of stuff is I got people now asking me what happened to the money. They're asking me, you know, because I got involved, you know, with the team and with the community and that sort of thing and the groups who were trying to help. And so now I got people asking me what happened to the money or why ain't we got this. And I still get phone calls for this, that, and the other. One of the things that did come out of it was some jobs for young people came out of it last summer. And it was a whole lot of, you know, it was a whole lot of, oh, yeah, we got these kids jobs. So my thing was that what did that say to adults? Those kids that got jobs.
What happens to the adults? Yeah.
You know, now, these kids came home and told these adults, I got a job. You ain't got none. You know? And
yeah.
So, you know, what did that do if that didn't divide? But then, at the same time, well, that didn't make too many adults happy. But I think Foot Locker was happy as hell about those young people getting those jobs, because that's where that money went to. I saw a line when they got their first paycheck. I was right there at Broadway by the laundromat because, you know, I recruit students back into school is what I do.
Uh-huh.
The line. In fact, they hired another security guard after those kids got paid, and that money went straight to Foot Locker. Now, I don't know if you know, I don't know what Foot Locker's doing in the, you know, doing for the community and that sort of thing, because I'm one of those people, I'm always trying to make my own money. You know, I'm trying to make my own money, you know, unlike yourself, you know, which is good. You know, we got other people like you who are watchdogs, who follow the money and try and see that people are treated fair, you know, and that stuff goes around. But I try to keep it as simple as I possibly can. You know, what do these young people learn? Okay, you pay them some money, but what about these adults who today now don't have a home for those same kids who had a job last summer who don't have a place for them to stay? Because I just left the shelters. I still go and visit people in the shelters who, you know, are transitional. They can't have stable housing, that sort of thing. And so I guess I just kind of want to stay at 1 year later. What is it, you know, what is it that's really improved? You know, what's been done? I'm not asking where did the money go, because I know it went out of the community. The people came in here and made that money, and they left and went out with it. Now, if we look at how much money was made in this community by contractors and other people who don't live in the community, I'm sure it's in the millions and millions of dollars. I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah. However,
what could those dollars have done? Or how is it that we, or these so-called leaders, these people who come in with their capes on, how could they have... How could they have made sure that those dollars benefited the community and made it more vibrant, or perhaps even created an economic base, you know, something, even another credit union? I mean, I'm just looking at economic development and the failure of that. You know, you got some people who went and got paid because, you know, now we're at this fourth generational pimping, ambulance chasing leadership type of thing. That's still going on, but only, you know, it's just a whole new set, and it's a whole different way. I think one of the best things that I had ever seen happen by the quote-unquote leadership here in Minneapolis was when, I think it was Fight Moss, I think, that had what's called a fair share program. It didn't take off because the people didn't buy into it. But you would have a sticker on your door at a store. If you don't support the black community or the north side or invest into community projects, we do not spend no money in your store. And so now not only has there been a tornado, the storm continues. The Koreans are still getting rich. The liquor stores are still getting rich. And they're taking that money out of the community, and the community is continuing to be raped and stripped to the ribs. And so 1 year later, you know, my thing is what do you see? That's my question. And even to those people, and I would say that to those people who said or who felt like they was, you know, they were helping. I mean, I don't, you know, you can't do no more than what the insurance company was going to do, except for you provided some free work, and that knocked out some people from making money because you went over there and did some free work that people could have gotten paid for, you know. But I don't see no more of what you did except for put your cape on and step out there in the front and said, get behind me so that you can get something, you know. So I don't know, what would you see 1 year later? What do you see? That's my question. What do you see 1 year later? Is it any better? That's my question.
Yeah. Mr. Marcellus, your comments.
1 year later, we are still facing some tremendous issues economically. And our economic vitality is huge. We have coming soon to a Broadway near you, the L train, is that what they're calling it? Light rail. Yes. Possibly facing up to 100 potential homes, I believe, eradicating them from the community. And again, what's so vicious about it is that we think of only the homes. That's important. And we think of the family that will be the place. That's important. But again, we lose again in economic tax base, which again should trickle down to our schools. I have not heard, and I correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, I haven't heard how much of that money that is made from the light rail will kick back down to the neighboring neighborhoods. I haven't heard that. That's coming soon. We still have a tremendous amount. I believe there was a report that North Minneapolis was leading the state in foreclosures. We'll never get that tax money back, which means, again, our schools suffer. I drive down Plymouth every day, and I see the nakedness of the communities. And what do I mean by nakedness? The lost trees, the homes, the streets that look so desolate. But here's the reality, brothers. People are living there. people are living, they still have tarps on their homes. That's the
right.
same money that we're talking about. Why do people still have tarps on their homes? Our community looks naked. The damage is still real. I once was speaking to Ms. Jones, brilliant mentor for me, and she, you know, we were talking about, I said, you know, what we are not talking about is the psychological trauma that is going to be experienced by kids, family members, elders who were outside that day, and just by the luck of God, they were able to get into a place of hiding so that they wouldn't be killed. And we were very fortunate, brothers, that we only lost two lives, just two lives. But we are not fortunate because we've lost many people. When the sky darkens and they saw that, how will that affect them long term?
Yeah.
We're not talking about the residual effects. And I know I've been vicious on speaking of the economics, but some of the ramifications long term mentally and sociologically is just as deadly.
And
you're misplaced, and your community is not the same, and very concerning. So 1 year later, we may have regressed.
Yeah.
You know, people came in, they heard about that money, everybody came in, oh, I'm coming with my cake, but more importantly, I'm coming with my credit card, and I'm coming with my bank account number.
Well,
and
that's what happened.
When it's gone, faster than the
That's what happened. That's what happened. This stuff is gone. Go ahead, please.
It's gone.
To me, there's when I think about education, you know, I'm hard on education in the sense that this is relevant curriculum needs to be talked about in the curriculum or talked about in the schools. The achievement gap is real, and what we always say, from the Afrocentric point of view, is make the curriculum relevant. This Northside travesty, not just last year, but over the course of 50 years, this is a learning tool. It's a sociological approach. It's an economic approach. It's an anthropological approach. You can write off this. You can do ethnographic studies. There's so much for learning. Because what's happening now is that our young people are not mobilizing and connecting with our elders because our elders don't like the young people and our young people don't like the elders. It's not time for that. We have to figure out ways to mobilize. And, you know, Mr. Allen, you called out about a month ago, and I don't remember if you remember your piece on YouTube. You said, are we marching for the right things? I asked the question again. Are we marching for the right things? 41% of African-American black students are graduating in the state. It's tragic.
That's shameful.
And I would,
and
I would argue that many of our lost young princes, Terrell Mays, this education is doing an injustice to where it's killing our children. So, and then we go to the streets, and then we're hurting each other. Where can we regain our greatness, our ancient comedic historic understanding, or W.E. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington and Ella Baker and Dr. Carter Jordan. We don't know that history.
Okay. Well, I don't want to cut you short here, but we're going to have to come back together here later in the week and then maybe just watch his news channels and watch the clowning going on from Minnesota Public Radio. I have 10:45 here. We have a little bit less than a minute left of the show, and I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen for joining me, and we're going to do another show here in the next couple of days, and I will keep you guys abreast of when and what time.